We are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Anne McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, friends. It's February 10th, 2025, and I wonder how many of you are wearing green today, celebrating not for St. Patrick's Day, but because our Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl yesterday. Today's the day after that amazing win, and wow, what an amazing victory. Did you see the hand of God all over the place? Did you hear the coaches and the players giving glory to Jesus? Wasn't it amazing? And actually, Fox allowed them to proclaim Jesus on the air without editing it or cutting them short with their questions. Now, this was an incredible witness, my friends, to the entire world, because the Super Bowl is seen all over the world. And we have to think about the impact of the coaches and the players thanking God on TV. It was priceless. Even though agencies and companies paid millions of dollars for 30-second commercials, the best commercial was the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni, giving all the glory to Jesus. Did you hear that? My husband, who is an avid Philadelphia Eagles fan since childhood, said he's never heard a coach on the Eagles say that. He never heard Sirianni say that. What a witness. What a witness for a coach to say on TV to millions upon millions of viewers that Jesus, to give Jesus all the glory, and Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts and Brandon Graham, all giving glory to God. Again, companies paid millions of dollars for 30-second commercials during the Super Bowl, but the best commercial was the live witness of the coaches and the players thanking God, not just for the victory, but for all His glory and love for them. It was very moving. It was very moving because Patrick Mahomes is a good Christian as well as other people on the Kansas City Chiefs. And it isn't so much about winning as it is the beautiful teamwork that has grown on the Philadelphia Eagles with these young players and how they are not afraid to proclaim their love for the Lord. This is a powerful lesson for our young people and for all of us. We need to be proud of being Christians and to proclaim and thank Jesus for everything. Again, you can have all the commercials in the world. And actually, the commercials weren't so bad this year, were they? But guess what? We had free airtime, heavenly free airtime from the coaches and players. And we thank you, Lord, in advance for all that you accomplished through their witness. And we pray that all the people around the world heard this and will open up their Bibles, will give their lives to you, will return to church and return to prayer. So we thank you in advance. In Philadelphia, if you're listening from different parts of the country, Friday is our big parade. And I know a lot of schools are shutting down to allow the children or the high school or college kids to go to the parade or to watch it on TV. And it's going to be a major celebration. And we have so much to celebrate for. But I was so happy to hear those witnesses. And I wanted to share that at the open of the program because we need to proclaim Jesus in every opportunity, not just in church or on the radio or on TV, you know, a ministerial program. But all the time, we need to be ministering His name, His word to the world. So let us pray as we always do in the beginning of this program, in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray first and foremost for peace in the world. We pray for your gift of peace for everyone around the world, that wars will be stopped, terrorism, all the evil things that are happening, that you place your hand and bring your heavenly mercy upon all this evil. Lord, we pray for the California victims and families who suffered wildfire damage and lost their homes, lost their clothing, everything they own. We pray that they can rebuild their homes. We pray that, Lord Jesus, they have shelter and clothing and food, Father. We pray that people will step up to help them. And Father, we pray, we will continue, because it's still on the news, for the victims of the Hurricane Milton and Helene in North Carolina in particular, who still, some are homeless, they're rebuilding bridges, they're suffering so much. So we continue to pray for them. And of course, we pray for all of you who are in need of healing today. We pray for physical, emotional, and spiritual healing for everyone who's listening and holding up the prayers and the intentions of their loved ones. We offer this all up to you, Lord Jesus, to your Sacred Heart and to Mary's Immaculate Heart. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what are we going to share and talk about today? We have spent months and months talking about being a lukewarm Christian and how to get out of that rut, or to identify ourselves as lukewarm Christians. But guess what? I want you to answer this question. Answer it out loud. Is your life a mess? Is your life a mess? Now, if so, stay with me for the next hour, perhaps for some inspiration that will be shared to give you motivation, to give you hope, to keep you connected to the Lord. Because I can't think of anyone who could be listening who doesn't have a messy circumstance in his or her life, right? I can't think of anyone. And if you don't have even a little mess in your life, God bless you. Still stay with me. Now, if you're a mess, think about this. Your mess is not the problem. We think we're the only ones with a mess. Now, do you always feel sorry for yourself? Do you think you're in a situation or a mess? You think you're the only one? You're the only one with a problem. Everybody else is coasting along. Now, acceptance is the only way to make peace with your mess or your challenge or your situation. We're going to use the word mess for the sake of radio today. Now, are you wounded and broken today? Think about it. I want you to answer that out loud. Are you wounded somewhere? Are you broken somewhere? Now, we're never, ever ready for the storms of life, are we? We're never, ever ready for those storms. Because life's messy because we are messy. And allow the ordinary, my friends, to heal you. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. The mess is here to stay. It's unavoidable in your life. So I want you to think about what it is, that situation, that person. Think about it. It's unavoidable. It's your life, and it's here to stay. And it's what we do with this mess that determines everything. Now, you can ignore it today by turning off your radio. You can avoid it. You can deny it. And, hey, here's a big one. You can blame others. You can shame yourself, and you can exhaust yourself pretending your life isn't messy. But when you wake up tomorrow morning, the mess will still be there, right? Or you can realize that the mess serves a powerful purpose, and that's what we're going to uncover, that treasure. That mess is covering up a powerful purpose. Now, how in the world do you, the construction worker, the homemaker, the teacher, the student, the person in the nursing home, the person that's undergoing chemo, how do you discover that powerful purpose? First, you need to accept that the mess is not the problem. Yeah, the mess isn't the problem. It's the belief that do you think that everything should be perfect in your life? You need the perfect house, the perfect hair, the perfect kids, the perfect everything. Do you have to be orderly, neat, tidy? Everything in your life has to be in its place. Now, you don't have to have it all together. I wish I had a bell to ring because this is a major milestone moment. You don't have to have it all together. Nobody. I don't care who you are. If you're a bishop, a priest, a nun, a single person, a married person, divorced, a young person, nobody has it all together. Nobody. Now, acceptance is the only way to make peace with your mess. Now, this acceptance will lead you to a profound acceptance of life, others, and yourself. It isn't surrendering or defeat. It isn't conceding that there's nothing we can do about this mess. It's just an awareness, my friends, that the meaning of life isn't to solve the mess. That's not the goal. The gateway between confusion and clarity in your life today, as you drive down the Schuylkill Expressway, or you're making dinner in the kitchen or picking the kids up, is marked with a truth. And what is that? We are all wounded and broken. We're all wounded. We're all broken. Acceptance of this truth allows us to make peace with the mess. So acknowledge it. Name it. Name that wound. Name that brokenness. I'm wounded and broken, but still God uses me on radio. We all are. We're self-conscious about our brokenness, aren't we? We're all self-conscious. We're sensitive. We're insecure. We're even embarrassed about our woundedness. But God does not want us to be embarrassed. We're all wounded and broken. Can something that has been broken in you be put back together in a way that makes it more beautiful than ever before? Now, how can that be? Your imperfections are part of what make you perfectly yourself. If we put on the mind of God, we discover one of the most beautiful truths this life has to offer. Something that has been horribly broken can be put back together in a way that makes it more beautiful than ever before. Now, I just know that we have listeners saying, sure, oh, give me a break. It's never happened in my life. It's true for things, but it's even more true for people, my friends, and it's true for you if you're listening. This is your source and summit of hope. This is your source and summit of hope. I'm going to ask you again. Can someone who's been broken be healed and become more beautiful and more lovable than ever before? Yes. The answer is yes. And my friends, that someone is you if you're listening. Because you're not listening by mistake. If you're channel surfing, or you're a weekly listener, or you're a loyal follower of In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, this message is for you. We are never ready for the storms of our life. Never. We think we are, but we're never ready. We're always surprised by a betrayal, a brokenness in a relationship, a wound. See, one of life's enduring mysteries is that you don't have to do anything wrong for your life to go horribly wrong. Really? Your life doesn't go horribly wrong because you did anything wrong. That's a rude awakening, isn't it? When we're abused, rejected, hurt, betrayed, manipulated, we search our hearts and minds, don't we? Wondering, what did we do wrong? To lose our jobs? To lose our families? To lose our loved ones? What did we do wrong? And maybe you did things to open or close doors, but it's not your fault. You see, people make choices, and they hurt us because they're people and they're human. But it's not our fault. Don't take it personally. And when you release this, if you don't take it personally, a lot of healing takes place. We all end up living unexpected lives day to day, don't we? They're the storms I just talked about. See, life doesn't unfold according to our plans. Now, those of us who've been wounded or broken or betrayed, we know that. Our plans, they just didn't line up. Life doesn't unfold according to our plans. But sooner or later, we have to decide how we're going and make the most of our one brief, unexpected life. My friend Jimmy Murray, the former GM of the Philadelphia Eagles, founder of the Ronald McDonald Houses, he would say this all the time to people who were in despair or hurting. He would say, "This life is not a dress rehearsal. We're not in a dress rehearsal. This is the real thing. We're preparing for eternity. So this is not the dress rehearsal." I love that, and I still use it. We cannot live without hope that things will change for the better and we're not victims of our own circumstances. Sometimes life just hurts, doesn't it? It just hurts, and you don't know what to do about it. And when you have a soul-crushing experience, like losing a job or a loved one, or the money in your bank account, it's the first thing you think of every morning when you wake up, isn't it? Oh, I wish my husband had a job, or my daughter had a job, or my son would complete college, or, you know, I just wish I had a bigger house. Until it isn't. Out of nowhere, one day, you won't expect it, comes miraculous relief. Yeah, miraculous relief when you least expect it. On that day, your loss is the second thing you think about. And then more time passes, right? And it's the third thing you think about each day. And finally, it fades into weeks. And then finally, you realize you're not a victim of your mess. You're not a victim of your mess. That's a powerful. Think about it. Now, tomorrow morning when you wake up, what's the first thing you're going to think of? Are you going to think about your mess? Yeah, probably, because we are human, because feelings are visitors of the heart. Your feelings and my feelings are visitors of our hearts. There are some situations in our lives that need to be dealt with, right? And they require our action. And there are other things in life that we simply need to wait out. We talked about that last week. Oh, boy, is this difficult. When you're trying to wait out, it is very difficult. And it's always easier to do something, isn't it? Anything, than it is to patiently do nothing. What? Patiently do nothing? What? That's a strange one. Learning to wait things out is one of life's greatest lessons. It is a great lesson, my friends. And we talked about that last week. Do you remember? If you follow this program, there is a pattern of learning and catechesis about how to live our life in light of God's mercy and love. Now, why is life so messy? This is such a reasonable question. Do you really, really want to know the answer? Do you really want to know the answer? And maybe you already know the answer, but we'll ask the question, hoping that maybe somehow the answer will be different. Life's messy because I am messy. It's messy because you're messy. And any day now, the world's human population will be huge. And St. Paul the Apostle observed, quote, "The good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, I do." And what was St. Paul saying? We don't do what we will say we will do. We don't do what we intend to do. And we often don't even do the things we most want to do. And worse than that, we often do things we know are bad for us, right? Things we know will hurt other people. Oh boy, do we love revenge when we're broken, don't we? We justify revenge. Sorry, that's a major sin. That's a mess. We justify it. They hurt me. I hurt them. I'm just creating a bigger mess. Things that you really know in your heart you'll regret. And we all do things even though deep down we don't want to do them, right? This is when evil starts to visit. This is when evil starts to visit. Because life can change in a single moment. In a single moment. Look what happened in California. Look what happened in the South with the hurricanes. Look what happened in New Orleans a couple weeks ago on Bourbon Street. Look what's happening worldwide. It can change in a moment. And we need to understand that we're all going through this. And we normalize evil all the time. So what is evil? If you're just tuning in, what is evil? It's everything that's profoundly immoral. So say you're getting separated from your husband or wife, and you think, I can have a girlfriend. She has a girlfriend. He has a girlfriend. What's going on? I can do it. You always choose that which is profoundly immoral. And then it escalates. The evil escalates in one word. Though you don't think it's too obvious at first. It all hinges on the word immoral. That's right. When immorality becomes your morality, you are profoundly lost. You're profoundly lost. And immorality has become the morality of an alarming number of the most influential people in our society. All you have to do is look at social media and TV and know that immorality has been part of the acceptance of our society when it's evil. Evil. So what's really happening here? We're dehumanizing a whole civilization by desensitizing people to evil. All you have to do is watch some of the shows on TV. We're desensitizing our young people. We're desensitizing a whole generation of people to what is evil. And when you dehumanize people, it changes the way they treat each other. Really? When you dehumanize them, it changes the way they treat one another. And if we really want to understand the mess, we have to explore our role in it. The uncomfortable reality is that we are all particular participants in evil, aren't we? So we avoid acknowledging this. Yeah. Church-going people, I go to Mass every Sunday. I go to confession. I pray the rosary. But you're involved in gossip. We avoid acknowledging this by confining our conversations about evil to things that we think we would never do, or by avoiding the conversation altogether. But it's true. We all participate in evil. See, the power of speech is so, it's like an atomic bomb. Gossip can never be undone. It's cruel. It's divisive. It's demeaning. It alters the way people see another person forever, and it robs the victim of dignity and opportunity. Young people gossip via social media, Snapchat, TikTok. The young people don't really use Facebook. It's, 30-ish plus. But the gossip, like, look at me. I'm so wonderful. Now, we've all been on the other side of this injustice, too, no matter what age we are. And we've all suffered at the hands of gossips. Gossip, my friend, can destroy a person's reputation after the direction of their lives and alter it, their lives forever, and shatter their self-esteem. It can also lead to major anxiety, depression, addictions, suicidal thoughts, and to many others, outcomes that cannot be even foreseen. The unintended consequences of gossip are of different magnitude than the intended gossip. Now, let's look at the harm gossip causes us. Gossip, my friends, puts us in a mess. The mess that we're talking about. Gossip hardens our hearts. You have to harden your heart toward a person in order to gossip about them, right? This is a huge mess that's so prevalent in social media. This hardening of the heart is an unavoidable prerequisite of gossip. But when we harden our hearts towards one person, we harden our hearts towards all people. We're indifferent to another person's suffering. We're inflicting suffering on a person. This is just one way of dehumanizing us. Gossip attacks our own self-esteem. Now, I personally know people who, from years past, who gossip in the name of Christ. Oh, did you hear that Mary da-da-da-da or Joe or Michael da-da-da-da? It attacks our own self-esteem because we look so low. We are in a mess if we're doing that. Gossip destroys relationships. So maybe you're not in a close relationship with the person you're gossiping about, but you can certainly destroy that person's circle of friends and trusted friends by your gossip. Did you know that? Are you aware? I want you to think about, who's the last person you gossiped about? Or who gossiped about you? The more someone has been dehumanized, the more that person will operate out of the tendencies of fight or flight. Fight or flight. Does that sound familiar? Anyone who wishes another person unhappiness or harm, anyone who doesn't desire good for others, we're dehumanizing them. Emotionally healthy human beings desire good for each other. Even when we live in a mess, we're broken or wounded, we need to wish and pray and bless all those who are different than us, all those who have hurt us. We need to bless them. Can you do that? I'm putting out a challenge today because in talking to you today, I had such a strong sense of the sin of gossip. It's a sin. You're murdering a person's life. And you think, well, I'm justified. They did such and such to me or to my friend or to my family. I'm justified. No, you're not justified. You are not justified. You're dehumanizing that person, and you look like you have no self-esteem. No self-esteem at all. There's a battle raging in each of us. And after the break, we're going to be talking about more of our messes and what God has planned for all of us with his gift of mercy. So stay tuned.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGloon, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. And I pray that you listen, because every week we have a different theme and sometimes guests. It depends on how the Holy Spirit leads us. And today we're talking about, are you living in a mess, a situation? Are you brokenhearted? Are you wounded? So as we progress towards the end of the program, I'll give you some tips and how we can all overcome this and know that God has a special plan for all of us. So I'm so excited to be with you today. So excited because our Eagles won yesterday, and so excited because I said at the open of the program, and if you're just tuning in, it was so beautiful to hear the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni, and the players attesting to the glory of God in their lives. And it was open and it wasn't cut. And as someone who has worked in television and radio, let me tell you, these networks do not like you to attest to the glory of God. And in the past, you would be cut. They would cut to a commercial. They would cut it out. They would quickly switch subjects. But last night, thank God, the Fox network allowed the coaches and the players to give glory to God. And it was a beautiful moment on television. So we thank God in advance for the Philadelphia Eagles winning. We thank you for listening to this radio broadcast. And I pray that all of you will step up to support this amazing Catholic network. It has so many more miles to go before it rests, because God has a special plan for this network. So please, please be sure to tune in, to support, and to tell others about how God is moving. So look, there's a battle raging in each and every human heart. All of us, all of us. The origin of recklessness is thoughtlessness. And we all have been thoughtless at one time or another. And we've all been the victims of other people's thoughtlessness. Now, it stings, doesn't it? Boy, that stings. But the pain doesn't linger for long. If somebody's thoughtless to you, say your child or your grandchild was not invited to a birthday party and the whole class was invited, that stings, doesn't it? Or your neighbors had other neighbors over for the Eagles Super Bowl party and didn't invite you. It stings. It stings for a moment. It was a thoughtless action. It hurt you. But it stings, but the pain doesn't linger for long. And if we're thoughtless, often enough, we become careless. Yep, we become careless. And if you've ever been on the receiving end of carelessness, you know it changes you. When people are careless, with our safety, or careless with our trust, or careless with our hearts, it hurts, doesn't it? This pain's real. And sometimes this carelessness hurts us so much, we may never fully recover from it. It has the potential to make us cynical, doesn't it? And really untrusting and miserable. But it changes most people in this way. We become more cautious with other people and more gentle with others. And we give them the benefit of the doubt because we don't want to be on the giving end of carelessness, do we? Now, this is how suffering at the hands of other people's carelessness affected us. It causes us, many of us, to slow down. So beware, reckless people. They will try to destroy you on the way to destroying themselves. That's right. Now think about that. They will try to destroy you on the way to destroying themselves. Look, life is difficult, and we can accept or get aggravated, but we cannot change it. The mistake we make that we make every day with all different degrees of awareness is that we believe life should be easy. Remember what I said about Jimmy Murray and this isn't a dress rehearsal? Believe life should be easy and that we should be happier if we only had dot, dot, dot. We torture ourselves when we think about all the things that people have done to us. This false belief, my friends, leads to a clash of the titans because between reality and our illusion. The easy life that we see depicted in movies and soap operas is a mirage. Those who chase this disillusioned mirage end up angry, broken, wounded, disappointed, cynical, and even resentful. Anyone who thinks life should be easy will lack empathy and even the energy to change it. Yeah. We now find ourselves at a junction, my friends. We're at a junction. We can return to reality and face head on the difficulties of life, or we can allow reality to continue to crash against our illusion of an easy life. Oh, how we all yearn for an easy life. Many choose their illusions. Many choose their illusions, but they end up suffering more for their avoidance than they would have suffered if they had simply embraced the difficulties of life. Yeah. Having abandoned the path that leads to everything deeply satisfying, they become miserably discontented and spend their lives complaining about everything and everyone. And we all know someone, maybe in our past, our present, or in our future. Only a fool makes an easy life situation his ultimate goal. Only a fool. Now, when human beings are at their best, they'll face the difficulties of life head on. Yep, head on. And they learn to delay gratification. They embrace reality. They release illusions. And they accept responsibility for their lives and life and live in the wisdom that the most satisfying experiences are so difficult. They're very difficult. They're very, very difficult. We try and we reach, we're reaching for the high rung. Once we're addicted to comfort, it shifts from strengthening as to weakening. And that's the easy way. The paralysis prevents you from standing up for what is good, right, and true, and just. And that's what happens. And if you want to destroy people, make them comfortable, give them every comfort they desire. Now, we see that a lot with young people. We as parents in our generation and grandparents want to give them everything, the best car, the best education, because maybe we didn't have that. And that's okay. But really, we're not helping them, because in our day, we had to earn it. See, it numbs our sense of justice by overwhelming it with self-interest. Oh, they'll love us more if we give them a good car. They'll love us more if we give them an education and their first job and a house down the shore. They'll love us more. How many people in our culture are addicted to comfort? Be ever vigilant, dear listeners, of the role you allow comfort to play in your life or those you love. Be ever vigilant. Comfort will destroy you long before the difficulties of life. Now, there are some comforts that will never poison your soul. Inspiration is first among them. Inspiration. Do you know what inspiration means? It means to breathe life into. If you must seek comfort, seek those which raise you up in the Lord. And that's what we heard yesterday on TV with the Eagles. All of them raising each other up in the moments they were uncomfortable and when they were working hard and striving and when Jalen Hurts was made fun of and Nick Sirianni. They were raising each other up through the biblical principles that we all need to know. We thrive if we have a steady stream of inspiration. Those players and that coach yesterday inspired millions. Millions. Allow the ordinary to heal you. That was an ordinary moment. I give all the glory to God. I give all the glory to Jesus. Constantly saying that. That was an amazing, inspirational moment to lift us all up. And you need to learn, and I need to learn how to play again. So much of what we do out of obligation, don't we? We read or we imagine. I remember Matthew Kelly once said in a retreat, maybe 10 years ago, I put that retreat together. And it was called Becoming the Best Version of Yourself, which was one of his first books. And I remember him saying to the retreatants, probably well over 350, if you don't know how to dream, you're depressed. You need to dream, to use your imagination. And I remember people at lunch saying, I don't know how to dream. I just make it day to day. Hour by hour, I don't know how to dream. That was a powerful statement. If you don't know how to dream and imagine, you're depressed. So much of what we do is out of obligation, isn't it? So much of what we do because we think we have to. What do you do just for the joy of it? Do you do anything for the joy of it? Now answer that out loud in your car, your kitchen, your work office. When was the last time you did something just for the joy of it? What can you do today just for the joy of it? This morning I heard birds out our window. I was so happy because last summer I learned to listen to the call. I know it sounds ridiculous, but to me it was important, of birds and the types of birds, and I just enjoyed listening to birds and their different songs and how it was just beautiful. Then this morning, for the first time, I actually heard birds since last fall, and it just brought such joy to my heart because I've learned to love this. And when we isolate ourselves, we don't cut ourselves off from the problems. No, we cut ourselves off from the solutions. So if you're hiding in your apartment, in your house, in your room, and you say, I've had it with my family, I've had it with people, they've let me down, you're cutting yourself off from the solutions and from the Lord. It was people who ultimately drew us out of our sadness. The more joy we bring to others, the more we own our own joy and how it expands. Did you know that? I want you to think about that. What can you dream of? Now, I'm not talking about winning the lottery. I'm talking about what can you dream of? Maybe to have a picnic on the beach this summer, or to go up the mountains to go skiing for a day with your grandchild, or to go tubing, or to take a walk around your neighborhood. And include kindness, because kindness is one of the most beautiful expressions of our humanity. Maybe you need to invite someone who would never have the opportunity to experience joy. The power of kindness is undeniable. It's one of your superpowers. So if you're sitting in your apartment and you're rocking in a chair crocheting right now, and you're thinking, this is fine, and it is, does it bring you joy? Yes, maybe it does. Maybe you're making an afghan for someone in need. It brings you joy. Or maybe you give your tickets away to a theater to someone who would never have a chance to go to the theater. That's an act of kindness. That helps to heal you, because it's in the ordinary that we're healed. We reveal who we are with our actions, don't we? Now, don't let someone's apologies blind you to their actions, especially when their actions are clearly a pattern. Beware of patterns. So they hurt you, they gossip about you, they're not around for you. Oh, they say they're sorry, and it repeats, and they're sorry, and the pattern starts all over again. Beware of patterns. Whatever the cause, the life you hoped for, my friends, and expected to live, is gone now. And all that is left is the unexpected life from this moment on. Remember, life's not a dress rehearsal. It's the real thing. It's the real thing. So if you've suffered trauma or loss, we become numb, don't we? It's even hard for us to listen to radio broadcasts like this. We become numb. And if you don't attend to your wound, it will begin to fester, causing all kinds of discomfort at first, then pain. And guess what? It'll lead to the distortion of your personality. Yeah. So don't ignore the fact that you have been hurt. Don't pretend it didn't happen. Whatever the case may be, acknowledge the pain today and suffering that have been caused in your life. Can you do that? And don't fear the past. The past is the past. You're not what has happened to you. You're not what you've accomplished. You're not even who you are today or who you've become so far. You're also who you are and what you are still capable of becoming. You are your realized and unrealized potential. Now, God sees you and all your potential at this moment. And he aches to see you to embrace your best, truest, highest self. And God yearns to help you, to accompany you in this quest, that you don't do it alone. And if you sense in any way today, dear listener, you may be lingering in the past to an unhealthy way, ask yourself, how is this really serving me? Is this really serving me? So when you experience a setback in your life or a disappointment and heartache, isn't it easy to get stuck in a rut? And we've talked about this in many programs. And when our hearts are heavy, it's hard to move on. So we're stuck in our mess. We all get stuck from time to time. And sometimes we get stuck because stuck is exactly what we need to be in order to pause and reflect on our lives. I love this quote by Albert Einstein. He once said, "We cannot solve problems by using the same thinking we used when we created them." Wow. Write that down. We cannot solve problems by using the same thinking we used when we created them. It's a powerful statement, isn't it? That's by Albert Einstein. So what will help you to get unstuck today, to get out of this mess? And what's going to give you a new perspective and raise your heart to a new level, like it did with the angels yesterday? Long walks, reading, new friends, old friends, prayers. What will prevent you from getting unstuck again? Well, the one thing above all else is shame. Beware of shame. Shame will allow us to stay stuck. An enduring shame is like falling in love with being stuck. And this is the power of the sacrament of reconciliation, to bring that shame, that broken, wounded heart, to this powerful sacrament with its healing, with its the mercy of God. It will unstuck you, if it's such a word, will get you out of this mess. Everyone who really cares about you wants you to flourish. Really. Anyone who really, truly cares about you today, dear listener, wants you to flourish. And someone who's really flourishing is full of vitality, right? How many people do we know are full of vitality? They're going, but going in the right direction. They're full of life and joy that we talked about. Remember we just talked about joy? They're full of vitality and joy. So one of the most dangerous mistakes in life is to ignore the moments that invite us to walk down another street. I want you to think about this. One of the most dangerous mistakes we make and we ignore is to walk down another street. It may be another job. It may be another neighborhood. It may be another Bible study. Sometimes we need to walk down another street. And sometimes it's just too easy to adopt a posture of the victim and blame someone else than taking responsibility. The key, my friends, to making good decisions is to choose what is good, not the gossip, not the revenge. St. Thomas Aquinas believed that there were three kinds of good worth pursuing: moral good, practical good, and delightful good. Really? St. Thomas Aquinas said delightful good? Well, Mother Teresa did. There may be the only three good reasons for you to do anything. Now, here's reason number one from Thomas Aquinas. If it's morally good, examples are love, virtue, and justice. Reason number two from Thomas Aquinas, if it's practically necessary, examples eating, sleeping, working to support your family. And three, it makes you happy. It makes you happy. Now, it's difficult to keep in tune with God's will in your life sometimes, isn't it? The moral standards, the ideals to live by, those yardsticks to measure our actions, a guide for anyone trying to live the good life, and a tool for anyone trying to live intentionally. Now, according to the four absolutes that were written in the early 1900s, their honesty, is it true or is it false? Measure your decisions. Honesty, is it true or false? Is it unselfish? How will this affect other people? Purity, is it right or wrong? Love, is it ugly or is it beautiful? These are powerful goals. They certainly provide clarity in a confusing world. Lies separate us from our best self, don't they? From others and from God. It only takes a tiny lie to put a whole universe between you and another person, or between you and God. How would your life be different if you adopted absolute honesty, unselfishness, purity, and love? How would it change? Allow yourself, my friends, and listeners to be governed by a quest for simplicity. Most people don't. They're looking for more, 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 that comfort, comfort, comfort. Not because this doesn't make sense, but because we don't spend enough time reflecting on life. We spend more time planning our annual vacation than we do considering our lives. Does this sound familiar? I highly encourage you today to adopt the wisdom of simplicity. You'll never be sorry you did. Apply it to every aspect of your life. It's an excellent path to clarity and peace if you're looking for peace. The beautiful saints that we have learned about in this magnificent apostolate have cherished simplicity. Follow their genius. Read about these saints. Simple living is the essence of wisdom. And the desire for simplicity itself is a sign of wisdom. If you're stuck in a mess, in a challenge, in a situation, the more natural way to get unstuck is to simplify your life. Strip away everything that's not essential. And to move forward, you need clarity and simplicity, because simplicity will give birth to the clarity that is confusing you and keeping you up at night and not knowing what to do. We are not victims of complication. We are willingly in the arms of complication every day. We complicate our lives. So I want to, one, give you something to think about. Forgiveness is the key to getting unstuck and out of the mess and challenges. Forgiveness, and to simplify your life. Recognize the offense in your life. Look at it and feel it. Surrender your hurt to Jesus as a love offering. Choose to forgive. Ask Jesus to forgive whoever hurt you. Ask Jesus to not bring up the offense again in your heart. You can let it go. Compassion for the one who hurt you. That's the biggest healing, when you can bless the person who hurt you or wounded you. Go the extra mile. Bless those who hurt you. And gratitude for the work accomplished and the work in progress. Now, many years ago, I mentioned this maybe 3 or 4 programs ago, there was a famous charismatic evangelist called Babsie Bleasdale. She asked everyone to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the treasures hidden in the broken event that hurt us, and to allow us to experience it to find that treasure. When you're struggling to forgive yourself, try to open to God's forgiveness. He's deep and lasting, where your effort may be superficial. I love that. Babsie Bleasdale, an amazing evangelist. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the treasure hidden in that brokenness. What? There are treasures to be found in that brokenness. Simplify your life. Ask the Lord to open your heart tonight. So until next week, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. And know that in God's eyes, you are special, and that He has a plan for you. God bless you.